Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We continue our study on the topic of prayer, drawn from 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Which say, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Confidence in prayer is based upon a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and a biblical assurance that we are indeed God's child. And when those things are true, then we have confidence, because we know that we have standing before the throne of God in prayer, and we know that we have a warm welcome to come to God in prayer. Our petitions are widespread. We are told that we can ask anything. Verse 14, we are instructed in terms of whatever we ask. Verse 15, and so obviously there is nothing that we are not encouraged to bring to God in prayer. However, we do realize that it is possible for us to bring petitions that are not pleasing to God, or at least not lined up with His holy will, because we are sinful creatures. If we were entirely sanctified, in other words, if we were already in heaven, I don't think we'd have any difficulty with presenting petitions that are in perfect accord with the will of God. But as long as we are on the earth, and as long as we still have remnants of our Adamic nature, there are going to be times when we will have desires that will not correspond with God's desires. Sometimes it's because we are ignorant of what God has revealed. Oftentimes, it's because we are ignorant because of what God has not revealed. And He hasn't revealed everything to us, and therefore, we don't always know. But prayer is an exercise in endeavoring to align our will with God's will. That's an important aspect of prayer, and one that is often overlooked. So that's what we need to explore a little bit further on this Friday, February 22, as God has appointed for you and I to come together at this time. How grateful I am for this opportunity, and how thankful I am for those whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. According to His will. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. That's the important element of prayer that sometimes is overlooked. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And we looked at that concept yesterday, and perhaps even on the day before, as to what it means to pray according to His will. And we discovered from this very same epistle that it means, on the one hand, a life that is endeavoring to please Him by surrendering in obedience to His commandments. In other words, lining up our thoughts and our activities in line with what God has revealed, what we know to be His will, so that when we come to Him, we are praying out of a whole posture, a whole mindset, a whole life's attitude of wanting to please the Lord. But secondly, we recognize that this has something to do with praying in Christ's name, as Jesus himself taught in John chapter 14, verse 13, in the Upper Room Discourse, and he said that if you will pray in my name, whatever you ask, you shall have. And I think I left the broadcast yesterday talking about that concept, about what it means to pray in Jesus' name. And it does not mean to tack the words in Jesus' name, amen, on the end of our prayers. That is not praying in Jesus' name. How do I know? Because I don't find a single prayer in all the Bible, and for this purpose it would make sense to restrict that statement to the New Testament. I don't find a single prayer in the New Testament that includes those words, "This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen." You don't find that. So, does that mean that Paul and John and Peter and the others who prayed and whose prayers are recorded in the New Testament all were praying disobediently? That Jesus told them to say these words, but they stubbornly refused? Of course not. The absence of that language in the recorded prayers of the Bible should cause us to reflect a little more deeply upon what it means to pray in Jesus' name. And it does not mean to say those words, "I pray this prayer in Jesus' name, amen," as we are accustomed to do. I am. You probably are. I conclude most of my prayers with that common formula, "In Jesus' name, amen." But I recognize that that's not what is meant by praying in Jesus' name, and I recognize that the apostles and others whose prayers are recorded in the New Testament did not use that language, and I am therefore not bothered when I occasionally purposefully omit that language and just simply close my prayer, make my petition, say what I want to say, thank God, praise God, conclude my prayer, and just say amen without saying the formula "in Jesus' name, amen." Why do I do that? Because I'm following the pattern that I find in Scripture. Well, then what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? And frankly, it means the same thing as praying according to His will. It means to pray according to His authority. It means to pray according to what He would pray if He were praying this prayer. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are adopting His authority in our prayers, but of course we can only claim to be representing Him in prayer. When we bear His name, that's what we're doing. We're representing Him. And we can only claim to be representing Him in prayer if we are praying what He would pray. So it really means the same thing as praying according to His will, which basically boils down to having a heart desire to honor Him. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 37:4. "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean what some people have misunderstood it to mean, that if I go to church and tithe and try to be a good Christian, then when I pray, God will give me whatever I want. God will give me the desires of my heart. That's the way to get the good stuff. That's the way to get the big house, the big car, the house at the beach, the yacht, you know, all the good things that I want. Just make sure that I'm living a life that is pleasing to God. And if I do that, then He will give me the desires of my heart. Well, actually, to delight yourself in the Lord means to live in such close communion with Him that His desires become your desires. His desires shape your desires. It's not that if I do X, Y, and Z, God will give me what I desire in my sometimes very carnal thinking, but nevertheless He'll do it because I've been doing X, Y, and Z, which I define as delighting myself in Him. No, it's a little deeper than that. Delight yourself in the Lord means that you truly find your greatest delight in life in communion with Christ. in reading His Word and meditating on it, in seasons of prayer with Him, in endeavoring to know and obey His will, and being delighted in it. That's where you find your greatest delight. And when you are living in that condition, living a life that is delighting itself in the Lord and finding its greatest delight in communion with Christ, then that will shape your petitions so that He will give you the desires of your heart, because your desires will have been changed into that which is according to His will. Don't you see? In other words, carnal desires are swept away, and truly God-honoring spiritual desires come in their place. And the closer we live to Christ and the more we delight ourselves in Him, the more the desires of our heart line up with His desires. And we are praying in His name, because we are truly representing Him. And we are praying according to His will, because His Word and the work of His Spirit in our heart, as we are communing with Him and finding that is the greatest delight in life, is now shaping our desires, so that our desires are no more foolish desires, carnal desires, certainly not sinful desires, but they are godly desires that truly desire His honor, His glory, His kingdom, His will. And that's what it means to pray according to His will. Listen, don't think of that as an undesirable thing. Oh, what a bummer. I thought the Bible promised that whatever I asked of God, He'd give to me, but now I find out I've got to pray according to His will for that promise to be honored. And that's not what I want. Well, why not? Because if that's not what you want, then your heart is not set on delighting in Him. If that's not what you want, then you are not surrendered to His will. If you know you want things that are probably not according to His will, but that's still what you want, even though you know that's not what He wants, then don't you realize you have a problem? Listen. Even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the sinless man, Jesus Christ, whose every thought and desire was to please God, even He prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." Jesus had to pray according to the Father's will, so why would we think it some kind of an imposition that we must pray that way in order to have the promise of answered prayer honored in our lives? Do we think we're better than Jesus? Do we think that we ought to be treated more favorably than Jesus? Do we think that Jesus had to frame His requests in accordance with the Father's will, but that we shouldn't have to frame our requests in accordance with the Father's will, that God ought to bend His will to our will instead of the other way around? Don't you see how wrong that is, how foolish that is, how dishonoring to God that is? So prayer very much becomes an exercise in learning how to think God's thoughts after Him, learning what God truly desires in our lives, and making that our desire and our delight. And when that is true, then we are on powerful praying grounds, and this promise applies to us. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Can you see the potential in that? Can you see what an instrument you can be in the hands of God for accomplishing great things for Christ and for eternity in praying this way? It ought to be a goal of every Christian to learn how to pray in exactly this manner. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.